feast at Jesus' table. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calling them, come and dine, oh come and dine, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table. Water into wine, to the hungry call of thou, come and dine. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus. Oh, come and dine, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. Oh, I want you to sing it one more time. We'll come and dine.
The master calling.
Come and dine.
You may feast at Jesus' table.
Turn the water into wine. Do the hungry call it now. Come and dine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning? Did you enjoy service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Tell you what, we're taking some pretty incredible journeys in the word of the Lord. You know that? Amen. We're feasting on manna from above. Isn't it good to know the Lord? Isn't it good that he knows you? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in the house of God this morning. Play a little bit more of that, guys. Oh, come and dine, Master Caller. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine.
To the hungry calling down.
Come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire. Thus he satisfies the hungry
every time.
Oh, come and dine.
The Master called, come and dine.
Oh, you may feast
at Jesus' table.
To the hungry call of thou, come and dine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Joel Yance, is he here this morning, Brother Joel? Get ready to sing that song for us. Lead us in that song this morning, if you will. He does such a tremendous job on that, and you do such a tremendous job singing it with him. We just need to hear it again this morning, don't we? Come on, Brother Joel, get ready to lead us in that. I want to pray for Brother Wade Altland this morning. He's homesick in body, needs a touch from the Lord. So let's pray for that need today. I want to pray for a very special unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about it. We just commit it to the Lord.
Brother King wants us to remember Brother Nathan Davis in prayer. He's injured his shoulder and a lot of pain, so let's pray for that need this morning. Brother Mike Johnson's mother passed away this morning. We'll remember the family in prayer, so let's hold those folks in our prayers today that the Lord would be with them. Brother and Sister Baker, they want to thank the Lord for bringing them through many sicknesses and trials and all that He's done for us, and they especially want to thank you for your prayers and express to you how much they appreciate you as a church family. So we praise the Lord for the Baker family, don't we? Amen. I want to pray for Brother John Horniak. He's been sick, needs a healing touch from the Lord, so let's remember him today. Sister Deanna Dixon says, please pray for the son and daughter of my deceased sister. Jeff needs healing from a stomach condition. He's suffering very, very much pain this morning. Also, daughter Savannah has many needs that needs the mighty hand of God to move in her life. So let's remember that. Sister Patty Lytle says, would everyone please pray for my grandson, Sean? He will be having another surgery on Wednesday. His hand is still stiff. Scar tissue has built up. Pray that everything will go okay and God will guide the doctor's hand. Also, let's just the Lord, if he would break up the scar tissues before the surgery, also pray for his salvation. So we'll remember that need as we pray today. And Brother Ron and Sister Joy Sherman wish to make this announcement to you today. Sister Joy and I would like to thank everyone for their prayers concerning the adoption of our new daughter, Sarah. As of last Monday, she will now be known as Sarah Rose Sherman. Thank you and God bless everyone. Give Sister Sarah Rose a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'll just say it publicly. That's one lovely family right there. Amen. And we appreciate it for what they mean to our assembly, don't Amen. We? And you know, as I look around, we have got some lovely, lovely families that make up our assembly this morning. And I appreciate every one of you. And then we have Wanda. God bless her heart. Brother Joel, come, buddy. You appreciate Brother Joel. Y'all, Wanda, you know I love you half to death. Well, I appreciate this guy right here, don't you? Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, God bless you. We're so glad you're here. All those that are streaming, I pray this service will be a tremendous blessing to those folks as well. Help our brother as he sings this morning. That's one tremendous singer right there. And we appreciate you with all of our heart. Sing it, buddy.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, makes me wanna shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all of the honor, all I praise. We wanna shout. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Has he done these things for you? When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picks me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, makes me wanna shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all of the honor, all of our praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the on the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, and how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he sealed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picks me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, makes me wanna shout.
Let's sing a little bit of this song just before we change the order of the service this morning. Sister Lisa, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready. Brother Jesse, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us this morning. Heard Brother Jesse sing this song, I believe it was at a young people's meeting, and just so blessed me. I saw it on the internet, and I appreciate this young man right here. Among our young people, we've got some tremendous, tremendous young people that make up this assembly. And I want you to know, young people, we appreciate you. We love you with all of our heart. Give our young people a nice hand this morning. Let's sing a verse in the course of this song. He came looking for me. Aren't you glad when he came, he found you? Aren't you glad he found you this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a hand clap of praise if you love him this morning.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope in sight. Faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me.
He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way.
could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears.
Now I'm safe from all harm
since I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan and move forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. I'm safe from all harm, 'cause he walked through the storm. He came looking for me.
He came looking for me.
He made a way
when there was no way that I could see.
When I drifted so far, Jesus was near. He rescued my soul and calmed all my fear.
Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. I want you to sing that second verse.
Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan and move forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time.
Lord.
But Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. I'm safe for no harm, 'cause he walked through the storm.
Hallelujah.
He came looking for me.
He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see.
When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. I'm safe from all harm
since I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, praise the Lord. Just remain standing as Brother Daniel comes this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer. A lot of requests among us, a lot of sickness in our own assembly. So we want to pray that the Lord would just be mindful of our situations. Do you believe he's able this morning? Do you believe he's more than able this morning? Do you believe you're a survivor? No, you're not. You are a conqueror. You're not a survivor. You are a conqueror. You're actually more than a conqueror. Give him one more hand clap of praise. You love him this morning. Brother Daniel, God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy.
There was a soldier one time that was wounded in combat and he lost his arm. And the chaplain told him, he said, son, we appreciate you losing your arm for your country. He said, sir, he said, I didn't lose my arm. He said, I gave it. And you know, that's the way with Jesus. He didn't lose his life on the cross. He gave it. He gave it freely that we might have life. Amen. Let's pray for these needs this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you mean to us. Thank you, Lord, because you did come looking for us. God, that we was lost and undone, have headed for a sinner's grave. But God, you reached down your hand in mercy and grace. God, you brought us out of that miry clay. And God, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you put our feet on the solid ground. And Lord, we thank you because of, as Brother Donnie's been preaching about the wagon trains. God, I'm so glad that you sent to us fruit in due season. God, to help us get through this Satan's Eden. Heavenly Father, we know that we are more than conquerors through your blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. Now, God, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you move for each one of them, that you heal, that you save. Oh, God, that your hand will just stretch forth wherever they may be today, God. I pray that you move for them. We pray for our pastor, Brother Donnie. Bless them today. Bless this service. Take complete control in Jesus' name, and we'll give you the praise. Amen.
amazing grace, how sweet the sound, oh, that saved a wretch like me.
This morning, Brother Jesse had a wonderful testimony to go with that song, and one of these days we'll let him tell that testimony. We watched him grow up right here in this assembly. The Lord kept him 5 years in the service. The Lord brought him back to us, and by the grace of God, he can stand here today and sing in front of this congregation. It's grace for all of our lives. For every one of us, it's a story of grace. You appreciate it this morning. Let's stand, if you will. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, take us away. Amen. Get ready for the preaching of the word. You're going to pray for your pastor today. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. He loves you.
Come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. I really don't belong here now. I wanna see your face. Come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. I really wanna see you, Lord. Jesus, come today. Come, sweet Jesus. Take me from this place. I really don't belong here now. I wanna see your face. Come, sweet Jesus, take me away. I really wanna see, Lord, Jesus, come today. Come, sweet Jesus, take me from this place.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
I really don't belong here now. I want to see your face. Come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away. Come today.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we truly long for that day. Lord, if it wasn't for those that are not prepared and not ready, I just wish we could leave today. I have no appointments. I have nothing on my schedule that I would rather do than to go home with you today, Lord. But we desire to be faithful until that hour comes. We pray that you would help us and give us the strength that we need to be the proper representatives of who we are. We ask today, Lord Jesus, as we look into your word, that you would anoint us with your presence. Forgive us, Lord, of our shortcomings, our failures. May we be able to look beyond the humanity that we're so acquainted with, and to be able to see a portion of what you see in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. How many loves him today?
Amen.
An honor to be together and in the presence of the Lord. Before we read the scripture, I want to share with you, Brother Newton Bennett, he's a minister brother from over in Hickory, where he used to be from. He'd moved to Arizona, and the Lord had given him a series. He goes to Brother Perry Green's church out in Arizona on bitterness. And he preached it, I guess, maybe a couple of different places. And it just, the Lord began to put it on his heart about maybe putting together a book about it. Brother Darrell was out in Arizona a few weeks ago. Maybe it's been a couple months ago now. And he had given Brother Darrell one and gave me one. And I haven't read it completely through yet, but Carol's read it all the way through. And I read excerpts from it. And I thought it would be a real blessing and a benefit. So I had, what did we get, Brother Jim? 100 of them, maybe, I think. Had 100 of them ordered. So if you'd like to have one, it's just full of scriptures and message principles, and it's on bitterness. So if you'd like to have that, that's where it's at. You see it in the library, you know where it's from. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon again today, if you would. Chapter 4, verse 12. I want to speak to you again today on the secret garden. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. Keep this in mind now. The chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. What could anybody say in response to such complimentary things that were said? Especially when you would look at yourself and find yourself struggling with being able to accept such compliments. Many of us have received compliments, no doubt, from people, and we felt like that they probably wasn't sincere, or that they were using flattery, or that they wanted something from us. You know, you hang on to your wallet when some folks go to flattering you. Or you know that they have an agenda. But yet, coming from who this is coming from, we know, and it gives us confidence to know, that he doesn't say words like humans do. He does not say things that he does not mean. nor does he say things in the form of flattery that would try to make you think well of him. He doesn't say it as a bargaining tool to say something about you, knowing that it will weaken your spirit somewhat, and then he can ask you for a favor. It's just not the way our God is. So if he says it, then we know that he means it, and he believes it, and he actually sees what he is saying. Now, for the recipient of such compliments, for the person receiving such things, it puts them on the other side of the spectrum, to where that they are listening to these things, they're trying to comprehend what is being said. They're trying to be able to receive it because they believe it comes from him who is the source and the fountain of all truth. And if he would say it, then he would definitely have a reason for them to be able to benefit by hearing him say it. Now, we know that our Lord doesn't mince with words. He does not use words that are trying to impress people. He could if he wanted to. He is the very fountain of the vocabulary. So he could say whatever he wanted to say. But we know that he's not that type of a God. So when he says something, it has motive, objective, and reason behind it. And it's always pure. It's never selfish. He never says anything with a hidden agenda. He does not say anything with a hidden motive behind it. So you imagine for the bride in this and the antitype of speaking this. Now here, looking at the Shulamite, whenever this is said about her, she has a poor background, a poor upbringing, not very wealthy. A girl that would have been one that wouldn't certainly have never found favor in the eyes of a king, that one would think. But yet, there was something about her beauty, something about her character that had struck Solomon's heart. And we look at it in a parallel to see about the bride. So we think, but how would this be that the Lord Jesus would be smitten about the character of the bride, and he was smitten by her before she was ever brought into view? How would he ever be smitten by her before she was ever brought into existence or creation? Now, we cannot relate to such a thing because we ourselves cannot be smitten in such a way. We have to have things that are tangible. We have to have things that are manifest or things that are visible or at least things that we can talk to or see before we're able to be smitten by them. But of course, we're not the essence of eternal life and we're not invisible within ourselves. But he himself was so smitten by what he saw, by what he knew would be, that he would actually create in her. And then whenever he allocates this to her, he knows that in time she will become this. And she in turn, here she is, she's redeemed now by the grace of God, the power of God, and she hears these things said about her, and she's trying to sort through what she knows about herself, her humanity, the things that she brought from her mother's side of the family and from her father's side, all the fears and complexes and her own mistakes, all the things that she's done, her besetting sins. And yet, she hears him say these things, and she's trying to sort through it all and trying to believe what he says about her. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? But yet for those who really believe him and know him, know that he would not say this about you if it were not the truth. And he would not say it if it was not something beneficial and allowing it to be repeated. If it was something that he wanted to just say on his own and say before the angels and never want humans to even really know that he ever said it. I mean, oh, God does that at times. God will say things about humans and they're not aware of it. He did it about Job. God said about Job to the devil, and Job never knew nothing about it. And yet God can do, no doubt he said many things about human beings. But if God was said this, and he allowed this to be printed, even though it's in a type and in a shadow, then there must be a reason for us hearing it said. There must be a reason for us to pick up this book and be able to read it and hear the things that he said about us. You agree with that? Then there must be something beneficial about us knowing that he feels that way about us. Now then the bride, as the bride hears these things that have been said through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, and now he says this about her. He talks about the frankincense and the spikenard and the calamus and the cinnamon and the fountain of gardens and all this, and then he gives her a space of time to respond. And then this is her response in verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my
garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now this is her response in the accumulative way that God is now building these adjectives on the bride to describe her. And he gives her now an opportunity to respond. I love this about it. That he tells all these wonderful things and then he will give you an opportunity to see what you will say in response. In other words, it is your reaction to his action. So he's interested in seeing what you are saying and what you're believing about what he's saying about you. Now that's very important to him. He wants to know what you think about what he's saying. He wants to know your comprehension level. He wants to know your understanding, your illumination level. He wants to know. He wants feedback. You understand? He wants feedback from you to know what you are seeing about what he's saying. So now, he gives her a space to respond. And this is her response. My, to me, is absolutely perfect in the way that she responds. Now, immediately, she goes into the form of a prayer. Notice she says, "Awake, O north wind. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden." So her response is in the form of a prayer, which is in a twofold petition. So she begins to ask for the north wind to come and blow. So she thinks herself unworthy, or she thinks herself inadequate to be able to meet this great demand of her lover, the Lord Jesus. So she is asking for an unseen force to come and move, an invisible power to move upon the visible declaration that he has made about her. You follow me so far? Now, the wind, of course, is unseen. The wind is invisible. But yet, she knows that according to what he has said, there are these things that are in her, but they need to be moved. They need to be stirred. They need to be moved around in order, oh hallelujah, to bring pleasure to her Lord. So she feels that she needs preparation before she will invite him into her garden. So she asks for the force of the wind to come. Now watch us read this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, if you will. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Look at this word cool. It is ruach. This is the same word that was used when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. There it was spirit in English. Here it is cool of the day. And it means wind, breath, mind, spirit, as that which breathes quickly in animation. So it's that which breathes quickly in animation. So here then, as Adam and Eve were in the garden, God chose a particular time of the day that he would come down and fellowship with Adam and Eve. It wasn't for breakfast, it wasn't for lunch, but it was in the wind or the ruach of the day. So in the ruach of the day, the cool or the wind of the day. So here the evening wind would have been blowing in the Garden of Eden. And God chose the time of the blowing of the wind in order to come, hallelujah, in order to come in the garden with Adam and Eve and to fellowship with them. So we see then that God moves in the form of fellowship through the wind. Let's look also in Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, and lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, of course, God is using a symbol to Ezekiel to represent the slain nation of Israel. But we know this is a spiritual symbol as well as far as the resurrection of the bride. So here God uses a prophet's lips, and through those prophet's lips, he prophesies, and the valley of dry bones began to move. So this bone was lying over here, and that one over there, and that one over there. But through the words of a prophet of God, divine order brought the body together. Woo! You may think you don't need a prophet. Ask the shin bone if it needed one. Ask the ankle bone of Ezekiel 37. Ask the fingers and ask the wrists if they needed a prophet. They'll say, yes, I needed a prophet of God to prophesy the word of the Lord. So, amen, I wouldn't go to the foot. The wrist wouldn't come down here to the knee. But through the word of a vindicated prophet of God, it would bring divine order back to the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. What about it, Happy Valley? We need a prophet. Do we still need a prophet's message? Absolutely. A pastor ain't enough. And an evangelist ain't enough. A teacher ain't enough. We needed a prophet. Hallelujah. Now notice then, once the bones start coming together, then the sinew and the muscles and the skin all comes upon it, but the body is still dead. Now then he says in verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Notice now the breath of God. Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Notice now, what is it that's going to give life? It's going to be the breath of God hidden under the mask of a wind. Is it any wonder in Acts chapter 2, when they were gathered together, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind? Glory. Hallelujah. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Let me just warn the devil before she stands. You better run and hide, old boy, because this army of God is rising up. She has been awakened, and the breath of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it will make her an invincible army. All hell will be against her, but all hell will never be able to annihilate the army of the living God. Now watch again in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. St. John chapter 20 verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed. Breathe, which is empheso. To blow or breathe, this word used only once in Genesis 2:7, where God breathed on Adam and he became a living soul. As the original creation was consummated by an act of God breathing the breath of life into Adam, so the new creation, the head of the new race, breathes upon his recipients the breath of life and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Oh my, John 3:8, Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now what a peculiar thing. Now remember, he's answering back to Nicodemus, that Nicodemus is really having a problem with what Jesus has said about being born again. And Jesus is going to describe now the new birth, and he's going to describe it in a symbolism, in a way of seeing how that one that's born of the Spirit of God is. And he uses the wind to describe somebody that's got the Holy Ghost. Well, what a peculiar thing. How can that be then? So the new birth is similar to the wind. Well, think about the consensus of what Jesus is saying. That the wind comes and it blows where it listeth, and you see the effects of it, but you don't know where it came or where it go. You cannot see the coat on the wind. The wind don't wear shoes. The wind don't wear a shirt. But yet you see the effects on that person. He said, so is it with everybody that's born of the Spirit of God. You can't see it when it comes in them. You can't see where it goes out in their soul, but what's their clothes change? What's their appetite change? What's their language? Amen. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. No wonder the bride began to cry out, oh, north wind, awake, north wind. St. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And this is Rhema. The Rhemas that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, with this in mind, let's watch how the bride begins to petition. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Now, the south wind in Palestine is actually the wind that brings the heat. It is the wind that blows in the summertime. Actually, they want the north wind to come because the north wind will come from the Mediterranean or even northeast, and it will come from above them, from the mountains, and it will bring the cool breezes, which will cool down the troubles and the trials that they're going through. You see, the bride is showing the epitome of life itself. That in between the poles of north and south lies everything that exists upon the earth. All trials, all things that we go through, they hang between the north and the south. And we know that this life as we know it now is a life filled with contrast. There are good days, there are bad days. There are days that you have health, and there are days that you have sickness. And what is it that it makes you appreciate a day of health? One or two where you don't feel so good. You realize that it is the law, what Brother M called the law of contrast that we live under. Now in eternity, we no longer need the law of contrast, but we need it now. It is the charging of both positive and negative. So the bride is now recognizing that she needs the effect of the north wind because the south wind has been blowing upon her. So she actually calls for the south wind to retire. The words here in the Hebrew. And she says, oh, awake, oh, north wind. So arise, north wind, and retire, south wind. She's realizing that in this law of contrast, that she must have the effects of the south wind. How many's had it in your life before? Oh my, them hot, dry days as it was, and it seemed like you're starving to death for a good thirst. You're just thirsty as you can be, and you're longing for that water, and all of a sudden the north wind comes, my, and brings a little bit of relief. Amen. Awake is from the Hebrew word, which means to arouse. Arouse. Arouse, O north wind. Now notice, he's given the compliments to the bride, and now the bride must respond. She responds with a prayer, and the prayer is in order to fulfill his need. The Lord Jesus wants to come into the bride. He wants to have communion and fellowship with the bride, and the bride is approaching it in the right way. Lord Jesus, I want you to. I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to be a greater part of my life. But I need the breath of the Holy Ghost to blow upon me in order to stir up those things which you see in me, Lord. I feel like I've had those hot, complacent days of the summer whenever the south wind was blowing and the heat and all of that. Lord, let a cool breeze from the north begin to blow down and awake. awake or excite those things in me. Notice in Job 37 verse 22, fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Proverbs 25, 23, the north wind driveth away rain. So does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Whew. Ah. Now notice the south wind. Job 37, 17. How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Luke 12, 55. When you see the south wind blow, you say there will be heat and it cometh to pass. And Jesus is describing how that the people of that day had observed the weather patterns and the wind had a great deal to do with what was going on, as it does for us here. And we know that many times that they will say, well, you're going to have this certain storm and it'll come this way and that way. But a lot of that depends on the wind. It depends upon the mountains here, how those thermal currents will rise up over the top of the mountains. And if it rises high enough, it will actually turn that storm and head it another way. What is this? Those thermal pockets of the atmosphere. How that the temperature will rise and the fronts will move in, whether they're cold or hot. And depending upon those thermals, when they will come up, it'll totally change it. That's why in the Himalayas, on one side where you've got the great beautiful mountain range of the Himalayas, on one side you've got tropical vegetation with all kinds of rain, on the other side it's a desert. You know why? Because the updrafts from the Himalayas are so tall, being the tallest mountain range of the world, they will come up and the updrafts coming off of there, every time the moisture comes toward the desert, the updrafts will come up off of the Himalayas and it'll stop it and it'll come right there and it'll drop snow on the Himalayas. On the other side of where the mountains are, nothing but barren and desert. So you know what? Sometimes we need a change of wind. Sometimes we need a change of wind in order to be able to, oh, hallelujah, allow what's inside of us. Because you know what? We can go through trials and tests, and we all know that they're good for us, and we don't like them, but they're good for us. But we can only take them for so long, because we will get so wrung out, and we will get so depleted of our strength and our joy that these great fruits of the Holy Ghost cannot manifest themselves. So it's up to you to call for the north wind. Lord, I need a little reprieve from this thing, Father. I need a little joy. I need a little bit of water. I've had a lot of storms, a lot of stuff going on. Lord, I need a little bit of north wind. Oh, hallelujah. The fruitfulness of God's people depends upon living between the contrast of the north and the south wind. You know, God loves contrast. There's nothing quite as great to be able to see contrast. Now watch her as she says, awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Now listen to her petition. And blow upon my garden. Now notice this. This is crucial. Her prayer is not for God to make her rich, wealthy, famous, important. It's for the wind of God to blow upon the attributes that the master says he sees. Now whether or not she sees it, that has nothing to do with it. She is believing that he will blow upon her. Notice what she calls it, my garden. She's not yet reached that confidence to where she can call it his in the sense of manifestation. So she's still calling it her own. Oh, north wind, come thou south and blow upon my garden. Now, she wants the wind of heaven to precede the Lord of heaven. She wants the wind of heaven to get her ready for the advent of the Lord of heaven. How many knows there's preparation before meeting the Lord Jesus? The bride does not seek that her spices will be blown toward the east. She does not seek that her spices be blown toward the west. She does not desire that her spices might be blown and live a great memorial on benefit of her. But she wants them to be aroused and stirred that her love may come into the garden. Oh, you imagine all these great spices and how fragrant that they were. But you understand, friends, for a Christian, this state right here we're reading, you talking about painful. This hurts a child of God to their very soul. To believe what he said about them. To take him at his word. But for them to not be able to smell it. For them not to be able to see the great aromatic influence out of their own lives. This is almost devastating to a child of God. It's not that they're doubting his word. It's not that they think he's flattering them. It's for manifestation that they cry. It is for physical manifestation of what he is saying is there. What's she asking for? Wealth, money, riches? No, that's not what she wanted. She wanted the Holy Ghost to blow upon my garden. It isn't enough just to know they're there. Oh, I got love, I got peace, I got joy, I got all this and other. That ain't enough for me. Come on, children, how many knows you got it? That ain't enough for you as a child of God. You want the wind to blow on it. Wow. So the spices denotes the graces of the believer. You think, what could he smell? What would be... Where's he getting all of this? As I sat yesterday afternoon, about 5:30 or so, I began to say, Lord, what is it that you're smelling? What is it that you're looking at in the lives of your people that is so overwhelming to you? What is it that catches your eye and moves you to such a place that it brings you more ecstatic joy when you see that than when the universe bursted into existence eons of ages ago? When the sun, our sun, that great fireball, whenever she blew into existence, or him rather, when he blew into existence from the spoken word of God, and yet to look at a child of God and smell those fragrant spices, it does more for the heart of the Lord Jesus than watching Jupiter and, you know, all these things come into existence. And all of a sudden, I caught a whiff. I caught a whiff. It was like the wind blew from the throne of God. And he began to illuminate my sight. And I began to see some things that he saw. And just for a moment, Brother David, as I began to study and look and put it, just kind of put it down on the computer there, I begin to see, and I said, oh my Lord, I see. I see why you're so overwhelmed by what you're looking at. Because it is such a transformation than what we were. It is so different than what we were. No wonder you are so moved. So let us see if we can smell some of these spices. Let's start with the spice of love. Romans chapter 13 verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And as I look at this, I begin to realize this was an absolute impossibility for most of us to do before the Holy Ghost. Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Look at the word ill, evil, bad, or bad nature, troublesome, injurious, pernicious, or destructive. So the real love of God in our hearts will work no ill to any other human being. It will not devise a way to bring something out of their closet, even if it's in the past or whatever more, in order to try to, you know, let them down or a pernicious way. That's not the love of God. As I began to look at this, friend, I thought, Lord Jesus, it's no wonder that you were so overwhelmed, because we were born in this world, a world of hate. We were born, and we many of us were born with hatred in us, because our mama had it, our daddy had it. And when I begin to look at this, I realize how he must rejoice when he sees hearts that at one time were so full of hate. Many of you couldn't even get along with the devil, much less your wife. You couldn't get along with nobody, but look at what the Holy Ghost has done for you. It has filled you with the love of God. Not saying you don't struggle with the old human nature now, but the precedent thing that's pressing inside of you is love. The love of God which works no ill to its neighbor. Can you imagine the aroma of agape? When the little bride begins to pray, oh north wind, blow across my spices. And the north wind comes through and blows the heat of the south out. And when it does, it carries the fragrance of love. And that love, the genuine agape love, comes over into the nostrils of the lovely Lord Jesus, who is the essence of love. And he smells out of your life what he is. It ain't no wonder, Brother David, he rejoices. When he looks and sees that was an impossibility 10 years ago. That was an impossibility 20 years ago or 6 months ago. There's no way you could forgive those that trespassed against you. You'd get even with them if it was the last thing you done. But when the north wind comes and blows that love across through there and he smells that fragrance in your life, no wonder he is overwhelmed, because you are a work of his grace. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Keep that in mind next time you post something on Facebook. So for every bad thing you say about somebody else, you have to at least put them same amount of bad things about you. And remember, if you post something about somebody that could ruin or harm their character, you're not doing it in the love of God, because love works no ill to its neighbor. Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. You can if you get the Holy Ghost and then let the wind blow across you. Don't you see why, friend? These are total impossibilities. People can love. Sure, the heathen can love their own. Families can love their own. I'm talking about love those who don't love you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. You imagine one day we're going to live in a civilization where there won't be one policeman. You won't need cameras at the traffic lights, because there won't be no traffic lights. And there won't be nobody running them if there was. There won't need one police officer. There'll be no detective. There'll be no FBI. There'll be none of that. Why? Because everybody there will have this. Woo! If everybody in Johnson City had this, my, there'd be people moving in from all over the world, but they'd ruin our little paradise, wouldn't they? If everybody in our church had that, people would say, oh my, there's a utopia broke out in Happy Valley. But you know what they'd do? They'd ruin our little utopia. But one day there will be, hallelujah, a civilization on the earth where nobody hates nobody, where nobody has an ought against anybody. I want to tell you something. That's not something coming in the yonder. The real children of God by the Holy Ghost have that right now, this morning. It's no wonder that he looks at her and says, oh, my beloved. So the fruit of the Spirit is agape and joy. Now you imagine, here's this tree in the middle of your soul. It's called the Spirit. And the Spirit puts out these fruits. And the north wind comes and goes to blowing on that Spirit tree. And the Lord Jesus says, oh.
your spikenard, your myrrhs, your aloes, your peace, your joy, your love, your meekness, your temperance. It's overcoming me. Oh, you smell so good. But I wonder if the wind blows across and it blows across bitterness, hate, animosity, and strife. Let's look at another spice. This is a great one. You know, spices, for aeons of time, for centuries, let me say it like that, have been imported. For whatever reason, God chose particular spots on the earth and in the earth to place certain things. God didn't place oil everywhere under the earth. He chose to place reserves here and there and there. God didn't choose to place granite and marble and travertine and all that sort of thing in every location. But it's like certain locations in the earth have many of the deposits of these things in the earth. And it's the same way with plants and spices, you know, the spice road that they had for hundreds and hundreds of years. And they would come from India and from different places, and it would be camels and so on. But yet, you know, they might meet somewhere and converge in an oasis with another camel train that was coming from Arabia or from somewhere else. And they didn't have spices so much, but they had nards, they had myrrh, and they had all kinds of different things, because God chose from there to bring this, and from there to bring that, and from there to bring something else. And then they would come through the spice roads and come through the caravans and transport all that. Well, let me tell you, the bride spices do not come from Happy Valley. The bride spices do not come from Louisiana or Texas. They come from eternity. And the bride has a spice road, and that is a road, it is a way called Acts 2:38. And if you're ever going to get onto this caravan, you got to come down this waterway, which is the light today. And you got to get on this spice road in order to receive the fragrances which are only coming from there. Satan cannot love this way. Laodicea cannot love this way. The Laodicean age cannot produce the kind of joy I'm talking about. It only comes down the spice road. It only comes from eternity. Let's look at another spice that the Lord Jesus loves. The spice of faith. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith. I ain't just got faith. I've got the spirit of faith. Now, Paul, in the previous reference in this verse here, is referring to God believed his word and spoke his word. Now he's saying the same thing about us. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. The spirit of faith will anoint you as the bride to say, I am my beloved's. And his desire is before toward me. And it will anoint us, Brother Jim, to speak and make the declaration. We're hearing weekend after weekend what he's got on his heart for us. What are you saying back about it? Why, he's out of his mind. I can't believe Brother Donnie's preaching that. Is that what you're saying? I'm going to hear somebody come back and say, that's me you're talking about, Pastor. That's me you're talking about. I'm going to become that. I am that by God's grace. We believe, and therefore we speak. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, And therefore we speak. Can you imagine a saint of God when they have a need in their life and the wind begins to blow across the spice of faith and they look at that promise without one feeling, without one emotion, and they say, my God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. And the north wind takes that and blows it over in the nose of the Lord Jesus. Oh, they're acting like me. That's the way I was. I wanted an earth and they wasn't one. So I spoke it into existence. Why would you limit? Why? That only Hattie Wright could say the right words. It's wonderful to rejoice about Sister Hattie, but what about you? Surely that ain't limited to one individual that's just going to say the right word. I ain't talking about claiming a new Cadillac and a new Lincoln, this and another. I'm talking about the things you need. Spices. Spices to be the aromatic Christian God wants you to be. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 8. But let us who are of the day. You know why I walk in this light? It's my daddy. You know why I look like Don Reagan? Because Don Reagan's my daddy. Brother Tim Mullen took a picture not long ago, a picture of my dad and a picture of me, and put us kind of side by side, and I couldn't believe how much I looked like my daddy. I just couldn't believe it. It was just overwhelming how much I looked, you know, these things here in my face and all of that. It was just unbelievable how much I look like my daddy. Oh, if I bear the image of my earthly father, how much more do I desire to bear the image of my heavenly? Let us who are of the day. That's why I walk in light. I am of the day. I am not of the night. Whoever you are of, it shows what you will do. If you are of light, you will walk in light. If you are of darkness, you will hate light and persecute it. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, hope of salvation. Now you do understand, don't you, what must bring these spices to the fruition? It will be the contrast between the poles. South wind will blow hot persecution against you. When it reaches the stage of fruition in your life, it seems like all hope is gone. And Satan thinks he's got you. The wind will change. Out of the blowing of that south wind, when you've come through something you like you've never been through in your entire life, and Satan thought, I'll wipe him out. I'll destroy him. But the wind changes. And when it does, oh, what you find is a bursting open of that faith and the promise of the Word of God. And that wind, oh, hallelujah, that wind after your great trial, when you face that trial and you come out on the other side and you can't smell it, and maybe others can't smell it so much, but you're so aromatic when you come out from underneath and my, all you need, you know, you sisters know what a diffuser is, don't you? So that's all we need. It's just the wind to be able to anoint and diffuse what we have. Trials will come and the hot wind of the south will blow on us, oh brother, but just let the wind change and let the north wind come around and it burst open the fruition of what you've come through. And there's Jesus on the other side of the north wind. He said, oh, oh, my darling, my beautiful love, you are taking my breath. Oh, truly, you are the children of Abraham. Oh, your faith has just been so tried and so tested. Oh, I knew you would do it. I knew you would be faithful. Let's move in now. Let's look at this other spice. Jesus loves this one. She's faith's little sister. Now she belongs in the family of God, but she's faith's little sister. Now faith is strong and brawny. Her little sister's not near as strong. But God loves to mix hope and faith together in the right mixture. You see, you take so much of it and you compound it with a mortar and the pestle, and you're able to mix just the right amount of fragrance. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, for those who think you have to be on your knees in a prayer closet, I'm not sure how you're going to apply that scripture. That ain't nothing but a lie of the devil. It ain't nothing but a traditional concept to make you think in your mind you've got to be down on your knees in a closet of prayer. The Bible says the Lord Jesus stood praying. Paul also said, when you stand praying, it's not the posture of your body, it's the condition of your heart. Now look at this little sister hope. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now can you imagine coupled with hope? With that fragrance through. How are you going to prove this? How are you going to prove this verse? In order for us to prove it faithfully, somebody's going to curse us. Somebody's going to call us all kinds of names. They're going to persecute us. They're going to do all sorts of things. And I hope you understand this. Much of it is only done to see your reaction. And most of those who are used to persecute the elect never make it themselves anyway. Their only purpose is the hot winds of the south. If somebody, if we're going to have hope, and we're going to bless those that persecute us, somebody, Brother Jim's got to run us down. Somebody's got to persecute us. And it may be them hot south winds. And they blow and blow and say, Lord God, I can't take this no more. It's about to drive me nuts. I don't know what to do. But all of a sudden, when you think you've reached it where you can't take no more, there'll come a change in the wind. Oh, hallelujah. And he'll ease it up a little bit. It may not be totally gone, but he'll ease it up a little bit. And the north wind will come and go to blowing it out. My. And there's the Lord Jesus on the other side. It's not me standing there wanting to smell you. It ain't your wife. It ain't your brother. It's the Lord Jesus on the other side. Amen. Notice this, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. Now this word abound is not just to have a little bit, but it's like a blossom. It's like a blossom on a flower. That it not only bursts out, but it keeps bursting and bursting and bursting. Abounding in hope. You need faith, little sister, in your life. I'll tell you, friends, sometimes I deal with people and they ruin all faith I've got in them. I'll talk with them and talk with them and talk with them and do everything I can to try to help them and pray with them. And they finally come to a place they just about ruin every lick of faith I've got. Because I get to a place I think they don't care. They don't want to be changed. They don't want to be different. And they drive all faith from me. But you know what I've found out? When I ain't got faith, hope, faith's little sister, will be there and she'll be saying, why don't you give them one more chance? And I was like, I ain't got a lick of confidence. And now I don't believe they want to. But see, that's my faith talking. I don't believe it. They've done showed me they don't want. But there's a little quiet sister. She's sitting over in the corner. She don't say much. And she's real timid. She's real shy. Oh, but thank God for hope. Thank God for hope. How many of you have been to the place where you didn't have no faith, same life for this and that and the other, maybe even for yourself. But you think, well, maybe there's hope left. Don't you say that as if the hope don't have a great value. She is of great value in the family of God. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus when he sees you so wrung out with people and the north wind comes and blows through your trees and he's waiting to see what you say. Here comes the Lord God walking in the cool of the day in your garden. And he gets right amongst the trees. And he pushes hope. And there's the Lord Jesus. Oh, she still hopes. Glory. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. But you also know what that means, don't you? It means the south winds are going to blow so hard against you that sometimes you lose all faith. Seems like you lose all faith, maybe in yourself or maybe in preachers or maybe in other people or whatever. But hang tight. The wind will change after a while. Titus chapter 2 verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For those of you who think the Bible never did call him God, I just read to you where it did. Amen. 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 The great, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Not one of the gods, but the God. Amen. Oh, can't you see what he smells? Can't you see what he looks at, Brother Jim? And he said, oh, your heart is a God. Well, look what I've done. Look what I've done. You were similar to the earth as she was hanging in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1, and God created the heavens and the earth. And then we moved to verse 2, maybe millions of years in between verse 1 and verse 2, and some cataclysmic something happened on the earth. The earth churning and turned upside down. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. God wouldn't have created the earth and left it in that mess. But that's after something happened. A cataclysmic change came upon the earth. But God's got a garden in mind. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. The cool coming the evening time. Hallelujah. And he began to blow. What was he going to do? It's exactly the same way he found you. He found you a drunk, a liar, whatever more you were in your life. You was turned upside down every way but loose. And now he looks at you and sees flowing through your garden his faith and hope and love and joy and peace and meekness and tempered, and he stands and said, oh, my beloved, my beloved. Let's go on. Can I just have a few more minutes? Let's look at an absolute rare spice. It is a spice that has been so rare upon the earth. Only a small percentage of the earth's people have ever seen it or ever smelled it. It's called a pure heart. I hope I'm talking to a bunch of people who have one. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. Blessed was a pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now this is a spice that is so rare. It can only come from one source. No matter how natured you are now, you might be nicely natured and sweet and all this, that, and other, and gentle, but you cannot have this by natural birth. Look at the word pure. It's katharos. Which clean, purified by fire, free from corrupt desire, from sin and guilt, free from every admixture of what is false, sincere, genuine, blameless, innocent, unstained with the guilt of anything. Now this is a spice that is so rare, it can only come down the spice road. And remember, only the pure in heart will ever see God. How then can anyone ever attain to such a thing, to where that they don't have an admixture of this in the heart? They can have an element of sincerity mixed with an element of hypocrisy.
They can have an element of religiosity mixed up with an element of pretense. They can have an admixture of so many things in the heart. People can take and use the word, try to prove certain things, but they'll have an agenda. A pure heart will never do that. Right? Now remember this, the rare spice. You imagine the Lord Jesus on the other side of your garden, and when the north wind comes and blows, and he smells this fragrance of a pure heart. You have every right to be mad. You have every right, according to what people have done to you, to be so envious and angry and this and that and the other. But instead, when the wind changed, and it opened up the fragrance of your soul, here was a heart that was so pure, it had no admixture of adversity in it. And the Lord Jesus stands on the other side, and he smells, and if he could go back in time, he could say, I remember 15 years ago, this was the type of man that if you crossed him, he would knock your lights out. And even when you open your eyes out, he'd put them out again just to make sure you was out good. Or she was a type of woman that would run you down. She would do this and that and the other. But I loved her before the world began. And I would not let her go. And I moved upon her heart. And I plowed. And I worked. And I set these exotic fruits and seeds and plants and trees in her soul. By virtue of her nature. I've brooded. I've dug. I've blowed. I've rained. I've had preachers. I've had pastors. I've had evangelists to work on her and work on her and work on her. And now here I'm on the other side of the north wind. And I'm smelling this. She is a miracle. When Satan had her, he crowned her with crabbed spirits. She loved to be in one argument after another. She loved to cause fusses in the family and fusses in the church and fusses on the job. Everywhere she went, she left a row of chaos. But now, she's a peacemaker. It's no wonder he gets overwhelmed, Brother David. It's no wonder that he stands on this other side of the north wind and he looks and sees what he has done in our life. And it overwhelms him. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. The end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart. I don't care how long your dresses are, sister. You may not wear one ring. You may not wear one pin, one necklace. You may look so holy on the outside. If you don't have a pure heart, you're not the kind of holiness I'm preaching about. Brothers, you may never wear tattoos and gold and earrings and this and that and the other, green hair with pink stripes and yellow with blue balls on the top of it. But if you don't have a pure heart, this is the end of the commandment. This is a spice that is so rare. Let me be frank and honest. It's a spice that is very rare in the ranks of the message. A pure heart. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to ask yourself, do you sit here today with a pure heart? Something about it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Let me finish reading the scripture, I'm sorry. Now the end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. And a face unfeigned. And unfeigned is not mixed with hypocrisy. What shows is you can have a face mixed with hypocrisy. But this is face which is not mixed. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Peter 1:22. Let me close. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned. Again, mixture, hypocrisy. Unfeigned love of the brethren. So you can act like you love the brethren and it's only hypocrisy. But unfeigned love of the brethren.
See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. But do you understand what tries a pure heart? When the south wind will turn and attack a pure heart. It will attack the very core of that heart to try to bring something out of it that is not pure. We've all been there and done that. Come on. Oh, but children, what kind of a garden do we want to be? Get this in your mind as I'm closing. You are this garden. It is a mystical garden that we're baptized into all over the world. Every member of the bride around the world. But it's also an individual garden. It is a fountain of gardens. So it is a fountain, the Lord Jesus, which waters many individual gardens. And she acknowledges her source of sustenance and water comes from one source. The bride in Africa has the same fountain we do. The bride in China, the bride in Japan and Australia, New Zealand, wherever they are, it is a fountain of gardens. And you are a garden. Don't show me the length of your hair. Don't show me how many years you've been in the message. Do you have love, faith, meekness, temperance? Do you have a pure heart? Pure. Pure. I gave a few reasons Wednesday night why you could hate people. I'm going to give them again today. Okay? Reason number one. Everybody wrote that down? Okay. Reason number two. Tell me when you get it written down. We'll move on. Got it? Reason number three. Got it? All right. Fast rider. Reason number four. Number five. You get the picture. God has a pure heart. So God can look at sinners and God looks at them and feels pity. And he feels so sorry for the darkness they're in. He hates the sin. But from a pure heart, you're able to separate and divide. And he hates the sin and looks at the sinner and says, poor man. Poor woman. But a person in the message with a religious heart will put the sin in the center, the preacher and whoever more all in one pile. Bunch of devils, serpent seed, going to hell. Only a pure heart can divide it. Oh my goodness. Let's close. When the south wind blows you away, friends, you know what it's doing. The south wind, the heat, it's necessary. It brings us to ripeness, maturity, fruition. But then whenever it causes that little bulb or that little polyp, as it was, to burst open and the north wind shifts and blows it towards your bridegroom, what does he smell? Does he smell a fragrant miracle? A person that used to had no more patience than nothing. Now they've got the patience of Job. No wonder he can look at you and look and see what he's done and marvel at each of us. For truly, we are miracles. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for dropping this little something in my heart yesterday. As I've been looking and studying and wondering and pondering in my heart, what are you seeing? What are you looking for, Lord? What is it that you want to see? I know it's your election. I know it's your predestination, but there's got to be fruit. Then, Lord, when I saw this, I realized that's why you're so overwhelmed. Lord, only the individuals sitting here today and maybe those that would know him can see how you've transformed their lives. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when the south wind blows. Lord, you know this past year it blew against my life in such a way and I'd never had it before. In so many avenues, in so many ways.
But I trust through every blustery spell of the strong wind of the south and its torrents that I was able to come through on the other side when the winds changed with the right fragrance. Lord Jesus, I pray you would help us. We don't ask to be free from trouble. We don't ask to be free from the south wind. For truly our life is held in this expanse of the earth between the north and the south pole. And truly our life spiritually is held in between the expanse of the north and the south wind. Oh, awake, north wind, and retire, thou south, and blow my spices into the presence of my beloved. We know, Lord, if we have bitterness and strife and all that sort of thing, we know what that does. The dove just flies out on a limb and lands there and waits for us to cool off, because you can't stand that kind of attitude. You can't stand bitterness. You can't stand that sort of thing. So, Lord, I pray you'd help me. I know I've not always had the right attitude about a lot of things. Forgive me, Lord. Many times on the south wind blowed, it showed my weakness. It showed, Lord, when it brought me to a fruition in that stage, I needed more patience. I needed more temperance. I wouldn't even ask for the north wind to blow that your way, because that wouldn't please you. Help me, Lord Jesus. Blow upon my garden, Father. I believe I am a garden. I believe I have all sorts of exotic plants, trees, and seeds that are planted in me. All these things that I've read about today are in every one of us in seed form when we receive the Holy Ghost. They just have to grow up. I'm not afraid of my gold. I'm not afraid of my plants. I believe they're real. I guess the only thing I fear is my human frailty. So I pray you in your great wisdom would allow the proper mixture of the south and the north wind. The proper mixture of trials and tests that I must go through in order to have the right attitude or to respond the right way when persecuted. It only makes sense. I've got to be persecuted. So my name must be cast out as evil. I must be run down. I must be as everybody else here must. So I pray when the south winds of persecution blow against us, whenever it reaches that fruition, maybe it blow out on the other side. May the wind change and the north wind blow a fragrance into your presence. And you'll be able to say back to me, Donnie, I'm proud of you. That's exactly the way I acted when they done me that way. I noticed, Donnie, that when they did that, you didn't try to get back at them and get even with them. Oh, you don't know how fragrant that was in my nose, because that's the way I did before Pontius Pilate. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many say today to the Lord by an uplifted hand, I want to be this kind of Christian, Lord. I want to be this kind of Christian. The spices from the spice road. The rare, beautiful, exotic spices of the nature of God can be in my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, great Adonai. Mighty God, I worship you today, Lord Jesus. I worship you because of who you are. I worship you because of your greatness. I worship you because of your magnanimous nature. I worship you because of the display of the outpouring of your grace. I worship you because there is none like you. There is no God in heaven but thee. No creator. No giver of life. Hallelujah. Oh, north wind.
blow upon me. Flow through us. Flow through us. That our spices may blow toward the throne of God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Oh, wouldn't you love, children, this morning for the wind of the Holy Ghost to come down here and blow right among us. And just be able to blow fragrance. And take that fragrance right up before the throne of God. And Almighty God could sit there in His throne and say, oh, how refreshing. How refreshing. Oh, you're talking about a room diffuser. Oh, the spikenard, the calamus, the cinnamon, the love, the faith, the temperance, the joy. Oh, it smells so good to smell people who have joy in the midst of trouble. Who believe me when nothing seems like it's working out? It smells so fragrant for them to say, I'll serve him if he slays me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together, saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Awake, O north wind. Come, thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Notice the transition made after the Spirit come by. She says, thou south, blow upon my garden that the spices may thereof flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden. Without the wind, we're message people that quote facts and statistics and quotes and scriptures and this and that and the other. But once the wind of possession comes through, it changes it from just being facts and statistics and quoting. It becomes his garden of paradise. The very next verse, which is chapter 5, verse 1. She invites him in. This is his response. I am come into my garden. She no longer, no sooner than it leaves her mouth and the work of the Holy Ghost does it, that he responds. What is it? The unrecognized presence of God. He's there, but she didn't really recognize it. He says, I'm already here. You invited me. I am here. Let me close with this. And he says, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honey. And my honeycomb. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat. Oh, friends, drink. Yay, drink. Abundantly. Oh, beloved. Now, I'm spoiling next week's sermon, but I'm going to go ahead and spoil it. When a man would go into his wife, into the bridal chamber. Glory. He would come out with her tokens of virginity, proving that she was truly worthy of him. He would come out to the wedding feast of the tokens of virginity displayed on a cloth. And he would say these words, eat, drink, my friends. She was pure. Drink, eat. She is what I said she would be. He speaks it out as if though it's already done. Eat, drink! She will be what I said. She will have her token on display. Hallelujah. It is a token of her virginity, her purity. She is pure in heart. Eat. Eat. Who is it? This is at the marriage supper, the wedding supper. When it's settled, when he gathers us there together, eat. She's here. She's pure. She's righteous. Eat. Drink. Eat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's just raise our hands for just a bit before we go. In the presence of the King. Can't you see what he's doing? Jesus is rejoicing over you. Can you understand that God rejoices over his people? The Old Testament actually says that God sings over you. He's rejoicing because of your purity, which can only be traced back to him. Eat, friends. Eat. My beloved is pure. She was a virgin. Hallelujah. Eat. Drink. The marriage is consummated. Friends, may I say to you, we are not going to the marriage. We're going to the marriage supper. Well, if the marriage is already consummated, eat. Drink. Hallelujah. What did it come through? The manifestation of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. That's why this bride will not commit adultery. She cannot. He's already went into her in the bridal chamber. Glory to God. And the womb has already been sealed. Eat. Drink. Hallelujah. 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 Do you understand that Mary, when she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, she was a pregnant virgin. Glory! Do you understand the bride of Christ is a pregnant virgin? She's never known a man. She's not been polluted by man. She's the child of Christ, the Word. Yet he will present her to himself without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. She has not been contaminated. And the devil's trying to figure it out. Too late for you, devil. He done pulled one over your eyes. Our Romeo done slipped down, hallelujah, and pregnated his bride with the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, eat, friends. Drink. Drink. Eat on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Drink of the waters of life freely. Rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Praise be to God. Let's worship him, shall we? Oh, Jesus. We adore you, Lord. We count it an honor just to lean back against your breast, Lord, as you hand us your cup and we sup with you. Lord, as we hear you whisper things to us, that you don't tell these flirters, just your wife. So we want to lean back against your breast, Lord Jesus, as you hand us your cup. Oh, we promise we won't be like Judas was. No, we won't be like Judas whenever he dipped in the dish with you. We'll not dip in this message with you and then turn our back on it. No, we'll drink of this cup. We'll eat of this bread. Hallelujah. But we promise we'll not get up and sell you out to the world. We'll go all the way, Lord. And we promise we'll not even do as Peter, James, and John did by your grace. We'll not deny you when trouble comes. And we know the only reason that they did that was because they wasn't born again. But after they got the Holy Ghost, they never done it no more. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, how we love it when the north wind blows in the garden in the cool of the day. We know, Lord, the Garden of Eden, the word Eden means pleasure. As Sarah said, shall I have Eden with my Lord again? And this is what you're wanting, Lord, a restored Eden. Before the earth can be a restored Eden, the woman Eden must be restored. That's why it's a bride tree. So your desire is turned toward her. And even though you gave me love, you gave me grace, you gave me temperance, you gave me patience, yet when it's mine, you act as if though it's mine. You gave it to me and you call it mine. And then I turn and give it to you, and then you reward me for doing what you helped me to do. Oh, how great you are. How great you are. Lord Jesus, for just a few moments before we go, do you mind if we just lean back against your breast this morning? Do you mind, Lord, if I take from your cup and I sup with you? I feel like I've sat at your table today, Lord. I feel like you've pulled us near. Oh, truly, the north wind was blowing in our favor today. Truly, the north wind was blowing through the spices, bringing the aromatic smell and the blend of love mixed with faith, mixed with hope, mixed with all these fruits and spices through the exotics of the nature of the bride. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. Sing it for us. Hey, let's just sing together now, saints, and worship him just a little before we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just imagine yourself now. You're now leaning up against the breast of the Lord Jesus. He's inviting you. He's not inviting Happy Valley as a church. He's inviting individuals. Hallelujah.
The more I find you.
Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The more I love.
Oh, my God. Lord Jesus.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup. In
what an honor to drink from his cup.
Lay back against you.
Hallelujah. To drink from the cup
feel
of the King.
Heartbeat.
Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus.
This love is so deep. It's more than I can understand.
My God.
I rest in your peace.
Oh, Jesus.
It's overwhelming.
Hallelujah. Sing it to him, church. Hallelujah.
The more I seek you.
The more I seek you, Lord.
The more I find you.
The more in your word I find you.
The more.
time. He just feels like you need more of Him this morning. Amen. Let's sing this just before we go this morning.
I need more of That's the way it's got to be. I need more of You. Yes, Lord Jesus. Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours. All those wasted hours and minutes. Yes, Lord. They're Yours now, yes, Lord Jesus. Well, I need more of You. I need more of You. I've gotta have more of You inside of me. Let's just sing that once again. Oh, Lord, I need more. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. Hallelujah. So much more. That's left in me. And all those wasted hours and minutes, they're Yours now. From the start to, oh yes, Lord, I need more of You.
Dismissed. Can we just go singing that? Make that your prayer this week as we come back this week. Amen. God bless you. Wasn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm convinced, brother and sister, one of these mornings will be our last time meeting here. That sweep that comes across this building will be gone.
Amen.
And I need more of You.
That's the way it's got to be. Lord, I need more of You.
Yes, Lord.
Till there's no room left in me. And all those wasted